Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information, as always, on the web. It's equip.org via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters, CRI. I want to begin today's broadcast by answering an email question. The reason I want to do this is a question that seems to be coming up with incredible regularity. The question by Paula is, I'm trying to find information about, quote, replacement theology, unquote. Information that I was recently made aware of. I'd like to know if you agree with the idea that Israel is not still God's chosen people. Now, I've written about this in various places, most principally in my book, The Apocalypse Code. But in terms of what replacement theology is, quite frankly, it's just a moniker that is designed to be an insult. In fact, it is the ultimate pejorative leveled at those who deny the heart of dispensationalism or the notion that God has two distinct people, one of whom will be raptured before God continue his plan with the other. And let a Christian question the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture followed by a Holy Land Holocaust in which the vast majority of Jews perish, and she is immediately shouted down as a peddler of godless heresy. In fact, popular dispensationalists are pretty blunt in their present denunciations. Here's one phrase uttered recently, quote, replacement theologians are now carrying Hitler's anointing and his message. It's pretty strong. The moniker replacement theology is also very inaccurate. Those labeled replacement theologians neither believe that the church has replaced Israel nor the other way around. Instead, they hold that all clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community beautifully connected by the cross. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ, according to the Apostle Paul. If you belong to Christ, you are then Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So it's not a matter of race, rather it's a matter of relationship. The Bible knows nothing about race except to run the race. One other thought about this, and that is that the use of the term replacement, I think, is highly ironic. Because the very people who wield the term as an insult themselves believe the mistaken notion that Israel will soon, here's the word, replace a raptured church during seven horrific years of tribulation. Ironically, those who suffer the rebuke are repulsed by the very rhetoric of replacement. Count me as one. Also ironic, I think, is the fact that those who are now claiming that replacement theologians are guilty of spreading the message of anti-Semitism are themselves in process of herding Jews into the Holy Land, firmly believing that those Jews will soon be slaughtered in a bloodbath that exceeds even that of Hitler's Holocaust. You should read the language of people like Tim LaHaye in terms of the bloodbath that is going to be exacted upon the Jews. It's going to dwarf anything that's ever happened in the past. So it is going to be not only of gargantuan proportion, but nothing like it has ever been seen in the history of humanity. Again, if people like Tim LaHaye are to be believed. Unfortunately, today, these kinds of sensationalists are ruling the Christian church. And quite frankly, it's an embarrassment. The sensationalism, the sophistry, the sloppy journalism, even the script torture coming from the highest pulpits in evangelicalism today. It's not just fringe people anymore. It's mainstream megachurch pastors that are now on the forefront of communicating stuff that is not tethered to the biblical text, but more akin to their subjective flights of fancy. Again, quite embarrassing, to say the least. I've written about this in various places. Check it out on the web, equip.org. A lot of you are hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today is Grace. She's listening in Rock Hill, South Carolina, WAVO. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm just a simple Christian, doing the best I can to study the Word of God and follow it to the best of my knowledge. And I've been studying a lot about end of days and that sort of thing, and I was wondering what your thoughts were concerning the return of Christ, if it would be post-tribulation, pre-tribulation, or mid-tribulation.
Well, it's going to be after the tribulations that have already occurred in Scripture. There's a tribulation that took place under the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. The Jews still to this day celebrate Hanukkah in celebration of the fact that the complete demolition of the temple in Jerusalem and the Hellenization of the Jews was not completed under the Old Testament Antichrist because God raised up Judas Maccabeus to save the Jews from certain destruction in the Old Testament. This, of course, is the sum and substance of what was prophesied by Daniel and then fulfilled 400 years later. Jesus then looks at that tribulation and points out on the basis of that tribulation that there's going to be another tribulation, and he prophesies that the generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. And he is very specific about that generation. This generation, he says. And so Jesus' words were very graphically fulfilled when the temple was not just desecrated as under the Old Testament Antichrist, but manifestly destroyed under the New Testament Antichrist. Jesus also says that in this world you will have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. And so there are tribulations in every epoch of time. As I mentioned on the broadcast earlier this week, you think about the Syrians. At one time, 1.1 million Christians in Syria, 700,000 have been exiled or executed, their possessions destroyed or confiscated. So there is a huge, huge tribulation going on in Syria as we speak. And it's not just relegated to Syria. There are many other countries that I could talk about, and the carnage is quite significant. But this is what will happen for those who are genuine followers of Jesus Christ. So in this world, you'll have tribulation, said Jesus, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So I think the idea that there's going to be a pre-tribulational rapture, and then after the pre-tribulational rapture, there'll be 1,000-year semi-golden age with Jesus presiding over temple sacrifices again that I mentioned Lehi at the beginning of the broadcast. Sacrifices actually atone for sin is certainly roundly disputed by the Scripture. So you have your choice, either, you know, tear a page out of a book like Left Behind and memorize it, or start memorizing and grappling with the biblical text. Sounds like you're doing the right thing. You're studying the Bible. And when you do, you will not find a single biblical text that talks about a pre-tribulational rapture or a mid-tribulational rapture. What you will find, conversely, in the Bible is that tribulations have occurred and tribulations will occur, and Jesus at some point in history will come back and put all things to right. He will separate the wheat from the tares. So our job in the meantime is simply to be fruitful and faithful.
Awesome. That was the mindset that I had. It's just good to hear somebody who's a little bit more well-versed see the same thing. So that's awesome. Well, I thank you for your time, and I hope you have an awesome day and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much, Grace. Appreciate your call. Be right back.
Heaven is closer than we realize. Its boundaries overlap our own, and angels move in and out of our daily lives. While many today dismiss the existence of angels, the ancient faithful held a powerful belief that angels help carry us on our journey to God. Lifted by Angels by Joel J. Miller helps modern readers glimpse angels as early Christians did to reveal the presence and power of angels in our lives. To receive a copy of Lifted by Angels for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
In City of God, Augustine contends that there is no absurdity or incongruity in asserting a fellowship between men and angels. Augustine doesn't argue for merely the existence of angels, but that angels interact with and influence our daily lives. Many today dismiss the reality and influence of angels, but throughout history, Christians have believed that angels assist us on our journey to God, and the book, Lifted by Angels, by Joel J. Miller, helps modern readers glimpse angels as the early Christians did. Lifted by Angels will awaken you to the presence and power of angels as the heavenly guides and guardians of our lives. To receive your copy of Lifted by Angels, the presence and power of our heavenly guides and guardians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Marxism, rebranded as socialism today, is making a comeback, and in the politics of the progressive left, the makeover is complete. But Marxist theory suffers the same malady as every materialist theory. It contradicts the existence of the theorist. Other topics include, what's the problem with conversion therapy? Does Galatians 5 forbid the use of medicine? The films of Alfred Hitchcock in the age of Instagram, honoring dishonorable parents. Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Dennis. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I got there's a multifaceted question, but I'm going to try to keep it simple. I've known the Lord since I was very young, but I'm always backsliding. And then God, I would imagine it's God. You might know differently, but I would imagine, I get things pulled away from me. So I've been married once. That wife was pulled away from me, but she was brought back. But then I went back into the same stuff. So she ended up leaving the second time. I got married again. I actually called your program and got your advice about my baby that was about to be born. And I asked you some opinions, and you read Psalms 139, which is my favorite passage in the Bible, which meant a lot to me. But anyway, so I had a baby with my second wife, and now I've ruined that. And so I don't have my baby. I don't have my wife. And I guess what I'm asking you is, I love Jesus in my heart. I think that I do. But reading the Bible, the more that I read the Bible, the more that I read John 1, the more that I read all these scriptures, if you love me, then this is how you act. So I'm super confused about salvation. And I need some help, man. I know that I love God, and I know that I want to do good, and I'm not doing it, and it's embarrassing, it's ruining my life. And I just need to get on the right step. You were talking about Bible illiteracy. I am 101 on that. Illiterate as anybody else that you might know. But I just need some help. Just give me some steps. Hey, if I have to be saved today, then I'm okay with that, because I'm worried about my wife's salvation. I'm worried about my baby's salvation. But I'm worried about me. And I feel like I'm just like trying to trick God all the time. I'm trying, okay, he brings me back my wife and I'm good. But then all of a sudden, it feels like that then disappears.
Dennis, here's what's important. You have to settle in your mind, not just that you have some academic understanding of who Jesus Christ is or some belief in the precepts and principles of the kingdom, but rather you have to determine whether you really genuinely want to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And if you genuinely want to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then if you love me, you will obey my commandments, which is to say that you will start learning more and more about the commands of Jesus Christ, and you will live your life by those commandments. And one of the first things you recognize that in doing that very thing, it means that you cannot go this journey alone. You have to be part of a healthy, well-balanced church. You also need to partake of the means of grace which have been given through the church, which is to say you have to partake of the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving meal, also known as the Lord's table or communion, many different monikers for the same thing. But the idea is that when you partake, grace is imparted to your soul so that you might live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Also, within the community of faith, you have others that can help you in your journey, which is to say, when you fall, there's someone there to pick you up. But if you try to go it alone, you are destined for failure, because the very identity of a church means that it is a community of faith, and you enter that community of faith when you're baptized. When you're baptized, you're saying, I'm being buried to my old life. I've been raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. I'm taking up my cross. I'm following Jesus Christ. And I am identifying visibly with the body that needs me as I need it. If you look at Romans chapter 12, it's a passage in the Bible you should become very familiar with. In that passage, it talks about transformation through the renewal of your mind. It also talks about the fact that though we are one part of a body, that body has many members, and each member serves its own function. All the members are necessary. So again, within the community of faith, you have those who help you with your besetting sin, which by your own account has devastated two marriages. Now, I don't know the details of your besetting sin, and that's not important to me right now. What I'm saying is that within the community of faith, you can get help for these things. For example, there are books and plans that very anointed people like Joe Dallas have put together to help you with sexual integrity. All of this, again, is encompassed in a network of accountability. If you try to go it alone, you're destined to fail. You need the body of Christ, and the body of Christ needs you. So what I'm saying to you is that it's not just an individualistic journey where you say, I want to pray, I want to read the Bible, but it is a journey in community. Without the community of faith, we are destined for failure. And at this point, you have seen some of the tragic results. God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Sometimes Humpty Dumpty can't be put together again, but God can bring beauty out of ashes, and you can cling to that reality. So what I would say is hang on. Let us see if we can help you connect with a healthy, well-balanced church so that you can not only grow in grace, receive grace, but also impart grace to others. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Daryl. He's listening in Illinois. Hi.
Thank you, Hank, for taking my call. I'm 46 years. I've been to church about four times, and I'm recently going to start back. And I don't have a lot of money, and I really need the money that I make. And so, you know, I'm supposed to give to the Lord. But if I don't have it, how can I give? And I'm just curious on what to do. I don't want them to see me put a dollar in the tithe.
Don't stay out of church for that reason. I mean, it's not a good reason to stay out of church. Go to church and give as you are able. And what you're going to eventually find out is that the reason you give is not because you're trying to meet some legalistic prescription or standard, but rather you want to revere the Lord your God always. And there are a lot of ways in which you can give. You can give money, that's your treasure, but you can also give time, and you can give talent. God has uniquely gifted you, and you can use those gifts within the context of the body of Christ. And as you are enabled, you give what you can, and in the process, you're going to find out that the arm of God is much longer than your own arm. And if you depend on the arm of God as opposed to depending on your own arm, you're going to be much better off in the long run, and you'll start realizing that your life is not just for temporary manifestations, but for eternal glory. And that's, again, why we give. Moses said about tithing, we tithe because we want to learn the principle of reverencing the Lord our God always. So tithing is simply a way that we can reverence God. And it's not in the sense of being some kind of legalistic standard. It's like training wheels on a bike. It's a way to learn how to start giving. But ultimately, what we're called to do in the New Testament in the most pure form is hold everything that we have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. So we take our time, our talent, our treasure, we lay it on the altar. We say, Lord, I'm not an owner. Rather, I recognize what I am. You've already told me what I am. I'm a steward of all that you have given me. So I hold that with an open hand. You take out, you put in as you see fit. And in the process, you will find out that the Lord will take care of your every need. As has been said in sort of a quippish fashion, He doesn't take care of our every greed, but He takes care of our every need. You'll find out that the Lord will give us life that is life to the full, and you'll find out many of the things that we are enamored with in a crass materialistic culture probably wasn't that important to begin with and usually burdens us down with all kinds of excesses that we got to take care of and manage and the like. When in the kingdom of God, you give everything you have to the Lord, and I'm talking about yourself now, all these things will be added to you as well. The Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's the owner of everything, and He loves you enough to ensure that not a single hair will fall off your head. That analogy is very powerful. You think about all the hairs in your head. I probably don't have that many, but the analogy works nonetheless. God cares about every hair on your head. If He cares that much about the tiny details, imagine how He cares about the macro issues. We're out of time for this week's programs. We'll see you right back here next week with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
In City of God, Augustine contends that there is no absurdity or incongruity in asserting a fellowship between men and angels. Augustine doesn't argue for merely the existence of angels, but that angels interact with and influence our daily lives. Many today dismiss the reality and influence of angels, but throughout history, Christians have believed that angels assist us on our journey to God. And the book, Lifted by Angels, by Joel J. Miller, helps modern readers glimpse angels as the early Christians did. Lifted by Angels will awaken you to the presence and power of angels as the heavenly guides and guardians of our lives. To receive your copy of Lifted by Angels, the presence and power of our heavenly guides and guardians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.